Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host Marty McDermott, my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Don LaRose, Vice President of Franchise Development for Express Oil Change and Service Center. Express Oil Change and Service Center is a recognized leader in the quick lube and automotive industry and the largest independent quick lube chain in the Southeast, both corporate and franchise-owned locations. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host Marty McDermott, my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. Today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and it's a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine, Marty. How's your week going?
Good. Doing well. I think fall's hit Pennsylvania, you know, so happy about that. You know, the windows are open and,
yeah,
really nice weather, you know, so.
Cooler weather, yeah. It's fall's just right around the corner, or maybe here.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine we're in September already, you know, and, you know, approaching our three-year mark, our 150th show. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, a couple months. Excited about doing that show. We'll We'll be talking more about that in the coming shows.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our last show, Don, we met with John Martin of Alamo Draft House Cinemas franchise, and for over 10 years, the Alamo Draft House Cinemas has been providing a unique combination of theater and restaurant, showing first-run and independent films while offering in-theater food and beverage service. I thought it was a great concept, huh? I mean, it's definitely a different kind of show for us.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, too. I mean, I love the concept. I mean, people love going out to eat. People mm-hmm. love going to the movies. And they just combine the two. Make
yeah,
it easy.
Really, it's one-stop shopping, you know, and I was telling you the stories, you know, I mean, the few times that we get to go out, you know, I mean, we'll typically go to dinner and a movie, and, you know, it never seems to work out perfect. You know, you go to dinner, and then you go to the movies,
right.
and then you got to wait like a half hour or, you know, sometimes an hour, you know, or sometimes it's raining, you know, so you go from the restaurant to the movie,
right.
and you get wet, and, you know, so I just think it's a wonderful concept. You know, I would love if we had one here in this part of Pennsylvania. I'm sure you feel the same way where you live in New Jersey.
And sometimes when you're at the movie, you might not want to have a soda.
That's true.
Maybe you want to have a beer.
Exactly. That would be interesting watching a movie under those circumstances. I guess everything would be funny, too, right? It's like, you know. So it is an interesting concept. But, you know, I'd like to keep my eye on them over the next, you know, year and definitely have them back, as I think these guys are going to continue to grow. What I'd really like is to have one of their franchisees come back. You know, I think
right.
he was mentioning one of their top franchisees. I think they own a McDonald's franchise as well, or several McDonald's franchises. So it'd be interesting having that kind of show as well with those guys.
And I, you know, as you know, I talk to people all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and I tell people a lot of times who was, you know, recently on our radio show. When I tell people the concept, they say, oh yeah, there's, you know, there's one of those near me, not meaning the specific
right.
franchise, but, you know, people, anybody I mention it to, they really like the concept.
Oh yeah, same here. I think that show got a lot of buzz. You know, it was the same here when I was mentioning who was going to be on the show. People were like, wow, that's cool. You know, I'd love to go to a place like that, just from a consumer point of view, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And you need a certain type of investor, of course, for that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a higher investment size. It's probably more on the higher end compared to, you know, a lot of your different franchise investments. But
right.
That's a question we asked them, and certainly maybe a little more due diligence on the potential franchisee, maybe
mm-hmm.
more. You're pre-qualifying, you're making sure they are in position to invest in this size franchise. He also gave a great answer to what advice would he give to aspiring entrepreneurs. I mean, really stress talking to the franchisees and doing
mm-hmm.
your homework, all the stuff we've mentioned over the last few years.
Yeah, it's been a common theme on our show, you know, so yeah, absolutely. So what do we got going on today?
Well, as you mentioned, we're meeting with Don LaRose, VP of Franchise Development for Express Oil Change and Service Center. Should be exciting. We've never had this type of franchise on before.
I know. I was saying earlier, you know, I couldn't believe it. This is the first, I guess you could say, Express Lube franchise we're having on the show, you know,
right.
in all this time. I don't know what took so long, you know, but I'm glad that Don's coming on the show today, you know, to add this one to our archives, you know.
Right.
You know, automotive hasn't been a big category as far as interviews go, you know, so, yeah, I'm happy to have them on. Greg Haskett of Home Team Inspection Service will be with us next week, Don. That's the
okay.
17th. It says Home Team has carved a niche in pre-sale inspections prior to the home listings. Home sale transactions can fall through as a result of problems discovered during buyer's inspection, but pre-sale inspections enable necessary repairs to be made ahead of time or adjust the home price accordingly to remain attractive to buyers. So that's going to be an interesting concept that we're going to have on the show.
Very important service in a lot of states. It's mandatory to have that service.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so that's going to be an interesting one. And that's a home-based business too, isn't it? You know, I mean, that's just one of the things
right.
that I love about those types of concepts.
A lower investment franchise, very popular during these tougher times. A lot
absolutely.
Of people investing in lower investment size franchises.
On the 24th, we have the Glass Guru franchise opportunity. That should be interesting. We haven't had a lot of franchises in that particular category. So it's cutting-edge window restoration technologies combined with traditional glass shop services make the Glass Guru a one-of-a-kind franchise opportunity. Every home has windows, so that's a pretty big market. Doors,
right.
screens, mirrors, and shower enclosures. As these critical components age and require repair or replacement, every homeowner needs someone to call. So I think another home-based business opportunity.
Right.
And great. And you talk about a big market. You know, I mean, this is it. So that should be interesting. And
I, you know, just thinking, Marty, we should maybe, you know, on our on franchiseinterviews.com, we have all the shows listed by category. We should consider maybe, you know, splitting it up by investment size, too, which I think can help a lot of people.
Yeah, we should do that. You know, it's going to be a little work, but I think it would certainly help our listeners, though, you know.
Right.
Because a lot of them are looking by investment size, you know. So I think that's a great idea.
That's something, something we should do, you know, definitely into the early part of next year since we have so many shows now.
Sounds like you're giving me some work to do, huh? But, you know, I think it's a great idea, so absolutely. October 1st, Don, we're having our first Senior Care Franchise Symposium. Over the last month, we had two symposiums. We had a Franchise Attorney Symposium and a Franchise Sub Symposium, and both went over really well. They were three-hour shows, you know. So this was going to be a two-hour show or two-and-a-half-hour show, and let's see, we're going to be meeting with Visiting Angels, Always Best Care, and Aristocare are going to be interviewed on that particular show. So that should be interesting for our listeners. If you're interested in, this is a big industry, isn't it?
And definitely.
We spend a lot of time talking about senior care.
As a matter of fact, we have time. One article I'm going to get to kind of talks about it a little more
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, it's been one of those industries that has just been exploding year after year after year after year. So I definitely recommend our listeners to at least listen to the show, you know, even if you think you might not be interested in that type of franchise, you might be surprised, because I think it's one of those feel-good franchises, you know, one of those things where you feel good at the end of the day. So, wow, I did something great, and I also made money, you know. So we have a lot of exciting shows coming up over the next month that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, and a lot on the horizon. We got our 150th show.
That's going to be great. We have a lot of surprises for that show, too, you know. So, yeah, I'm already excited about that. I it's just amazing.
Well, maybe I'll start out with kind of staying on this theme of what the October 1st show is going to be. This is Marty, staying at home with a little help. Home care, already one of the fastest-growing industries in the U.S., is expected to flourish as baby boomers age, by Alexa Garcia Ditta. Caregiver Cal Atkins has stayed up nights monitoring a retired female pilot, a Pearl Harbor survivor, and former police captain, all in their Charlotte homes. Home care jobs, which range from helping a patient to bed to providing physical therapy, are among the fastest-growing jobs in the country. Nationally, the number of home care service employees grew by about 200,000, or 26%, between 96 and 2006.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking about. Just, I mean, those numbers are just, they're incredible.
In a recent report, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics labels personal home care aides who offer basic help and home health aides who offer medical assistance as the second and third fastest growing occupations.
Wow.
Both are projected to double by 2016 as baby boomers age and employ more than 3 million people.
Could you imagine that? Double.
Pretty incredible numbers.
Yeah, it really is.
Further driving the trend, technology and better health practices keep people alive longer, and more seniors are opting to stay in their homes rather than move to nursing or assisted living facilities. It's also a lot cheaper. Most clients pay for their own care, which averages between 11 and 15 an hour for basic services, but can go higher for more intense medical care. Medicaid and Medicare may cover some of the cost. In fewer cases, private insurance may also cover some costs. People have worked all their lives and have lived in the same house, as Atkins said. They want to die in that home or stay there as long as they can.
It's true.
Okay.
You know, I mean, again, I think you and I are kind of far from that point, you know, but, I mean, it does make a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I know my grandmother, when, you know, she was sick, she, I mean, they had someone come in from one of the senior care, I believe it was a franchise, and it really helped, you know, because she wanted to be home. She didn't want to be in a hospital, you know.
This article is written through the Charlotte Observer, North Carolina. It says, today some 100,000 people in North Carolina are working in home care jobs. Makes sense. It's a popular retirement state. Even my in-laws, you know, retired and moved down there from New Jersey a few years ago. And the demand will only grow. By 2030, North Carolina's 2.3 million baby boomers will all have reached the traditional retirement age, according to state reports.
Incredible. I mean, when you look at the numbers, you know, I mean, it just really is amazing.
I mean, you just want to rush down to North Carolina and open up one of these franchises.
Oh, maybe we should.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be partners with you. We're already partners on this show. What do you?
That's enough.
Here's something, Marty. How Small Businesses Win Big in Tough Economies by Jeff Stibel through harvardbusiness.org. I thought this was pretty interesting. Blinded by mass layoffs and the financial follies of Fortune 500 companies, we have overlooked a smaller but more important transformation, the increasing importance of small businesses in our economic recovery. After all, small businesses employ more than half of our private sector workforce in history, as well as the Small Business Administration readily reminds us that the ability of small businesses to create jobs is a key factor in any resurgent prosperity. That's all well and good, you might say, but what difference does any of this make when the media keeps bombarding us with reports that many small businesses are going bankrupt?
That's true.
Well, you can choose to wring your hands in frustration, and you can look to the facts. For every small business failure, dozens more are actually thriving despite the economic panic. What are these small businesses doing to outperform the economy? Consider the following strategic approaches. One is action. This is an entrepreneur's best weapon. Things happen fast these days, and fluidity favors small businesses. You don't need to sort through the layers of bureaucracy that can slow down or even cripple larger companies. Small businesses can adapt to any circumstance quickly, and every thriving entrepreneur knows speed breeds success. It's an interesting quote maybe for us. Speed breeds success. Next is planning is important. Plans aren't. It's good to have a strategy in place, but don't succumb to analysis paralysis. With things changing almost hourly, can you afford to spend time following a bloated plan that was outdated almost as soon as it was completed? Spend your time with your ear to the ground and respond accordingly.
That's interesting. I've been reading a book on that topic, yeah.
This guy's a quote machine. There's a lot of good stuff.
Well, I was impressed here. You were reading harvardbusiness.org. I said, wow.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm barely getting... Yeah, but I'm barely getting through the article, though. As you can tell. Next thing is planning is important. Plans are... I just read that. All right. Innovative financing. There are a number of resources available to small businesses and innovative approaches that can have a positive effect on your bottom line. Diana Ransom touched on some of these tactics in a Wall Street Journal Smart Money column. She recommends offering upfront pricing, using seller financing, and switching from fixed to variable costs. She also recommends selectively discounting items. Although I've gone on the record as saying discounting can damage your brand, the key word here is selective. I guess discounting is when you have accounts receivables that haven't paid yet. You can pay a service to get that money up front, but you have to pay a discount on it. So you're actually making less on it, but you're getting the money now, and cash flow is king and, you know, very important. Next, give the people what they want. People are staying home more, and they're looking for value. Smart companies are tapping into that. For instance, Skinner Baking is giving people what they want, comfort food during hard times. And I'm willing to bet that the sales of that much-maligned blanket with sleeves, the Snuggle, aren't going to do too badly this winter either. With that, people staying home and turning down their thermostat. You know, good points. You know, it's interesting. We read an article a few weeks ago how some of the QSR and some of the fast food restaurants and franchises are doing better because maybe more people are spending less, not going to the more expensive restaurants. So there's always some type of company that's taking advantage when times are tough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, it's I'm glad that you brought this article to the table, you know, because a lot of times we do focus on entrepreneurship as well. You know, it's not always about just franchising. It was about 6 months or a year ago, Don, I was reading an article of a small-time pharmacy that's now competing with Walmart. You know, you say, how does a small pharmacy compete with Walmart? You know, well, they made it a point to know everything and anything about all their customers. So when their customers came walking in the door, they'd say, you know, hi, Don, how you doing? How are your kids? You know, I know they just started school. That's something that you're not going to get from a very big business, you know. So it's thinking outside the box, and there are ways for small businesses to compete against a lot of these bigger companies as well. So, yeah, I think it's a great article.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even Home Depot, I think. I think it was them. They realized that they were losing business to small-time hardware stores starting up again. People going to their local town, going to the smaller hardware store where they can talk to the owner and you maybe run into people in town, and you know, you're not walking all over the place. You just have a few essentials you want to get. And I think it was Home Depot, but they started putting together some smaller stores as well because, you know, people were going back that concept. Maybe the prices are real good at Home Depot, but
it makes sense. There's things that the small business can do that the big machines will not do. You know, they just won't do
right.
it. You know, I mean, I know. Not to bash Home Depot. I've always been a pretty big fan of Home Depot, their business model. But I can tell you, I mean, the times I've went in there recently, I can't get any help, and I'm lost in that store. You know,
right.
I don't know where the hell I'm going. You know,
right.
I mean, it's just so big. There's just so much merchandise. I need someone to just assist me, and I
right.
usually can't get that over here. And that's something that I could see people going back to the smaller hardware stores. You know,
right.
It's an interesting point. So.
Huh. Old-fashioned help and
old
service.
School. Absolutely.
Just ending this article, Marty, test, measure, refine, repeat. Small businesses have another added advantage these days that they didn't have in past recessions, social media and sophisticated online marketing tools.
Hmm.
You can measure the success of your marketing and advertising and conduct all the market research you need in real time with a click of the mouse. You can engage your customers online in a number of low-cost ways. You can optimize your website so your customers can find you quickly and easily. Likewise, effective use of e-commerce capabilities can help keep you in the black with minimal overhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Right.
With communication and sophistication of technology, it can have small business seem very large, but
sure.
use these tools to your advantage that you didn't have years ago.
It's work. You know, I mean, it really is. You know, I mean, and again, the benefit of joining a franchise system is, again, they teach you how to do all that stuff too, you know.
Right.
And the problem with, you know, again, starting your own business, and we've said this dozens of times, is that you're really on your own, you know. You know, you're by yourself, and that's usually why it doesn't work. There's not a foolproof system, you know. So I think it's a great article, though. It's a good job.
Here's up, Marty, the Wall Street Journal. Papa John's to scale back support to franchisees by Paul Ziobro out of New York. Papa John's International plans to scale back some financial support. It's been offering franchisees to make it through the recession, potentially providing a boost to earnings. It would be fair to assume that it would be quite a bit less, Papa John's founder and chief executive John Schnatter said Wednesday on an earnings call. Papa John's has been helping some franchisees afloat over the last year by deferring or waiving royalty payments and cutting fees for online ordering, while also putting more money towards national advertising campaigns. Such moves have helped prevent some stores from closing, as Papa John's tries to keep from closing fewer stores than top competitors, Domino's and Yum! Brands, Pizza Hut. This is pretty interesting. I wanted to read it because I guess you can look at it a couple different ways. You know, you want to help, you know, look at the big picture and help all the franchisees. You want to do more national advertising, but they probably feel the economy's turning a little bit and improving.
Mm-hmm.
And some of their franchisees might not, be in a tough situation as maybe 6 months ago. So
yeah, that's true. They have some pretty clever commercials, too. I don't know if you've seen them, you know, if you're watching football games and things like that.
Right. In the last place my family lived at, we happen to be close to a Papa John's. We went on a roll of a couple of years sometimes ordering their pizzas. It's a pretty good product, I guess,
is
why they're so successful.
Interesting.
Here's something, Tampa Bay Business Journal. H&R Block will convert 500 company offices to franchises.
Wow.
H&R Block plans to sell a pool of 500 company-owned offices, converting them to franchises throughout the fall and winter, based out of Kansas City, Missouri. Hopes to target entrepreneurs already operating in or interested in the tax business.
That's great. We just had Instant Tax Service on
a
show like 3 weeks ago, you know, so that's something.
And I know it's the seventh fastest-growing industry. Believe it or not.
It is. I think we mentioned that on the show, too.
Yeah.
Great. Why don't we do this, Don? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival, as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. As we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Don LaRose, who is the Vice President of Franchise Development for Express Oil Change and Service Center. And Express Oil Change and Service Center is a recognized leader in the quick lube and automotive service industry and is the largest independent quick lube chain in the Southeast with both corporate and franchise home locations. Hey, Don, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Don. Don, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say hi to Don.
Thanks for coming on, Don. We appreciate it. Hopefully Marty won't get you and I confused.
I know. I was just thinking about that. Don, did you? We always like to start off asking our guests where you're calling from this morning.
From Birmingham, Alabama, with
beautiful.
Darso Blue.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice. Is it cooling off a bit down there?
A little bit, yeah. It's down in the upper 70s.
Okay, good, good. And Don, what were you doing before joining Express Oil Change and Service Center Franchise Opportunity?
I was running a Cajun, startup Cajun restaurant franchise in Kentucky for a couple of years. Before that, I was with Dunkin' Brands, Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin Robbins for about 9 years, mostly in the franchise sales side of things, and was with Hallmark Cards for 12 years before that.
That's great.
Oh, great background, Don.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Tell us a little bit about the history of Express Oil and when you began franchising.
Well, The brand was founded in 1979 by Jim Lunsford here in Birmingham, Alabama. And after about a couple of two decades, he started franchising just 5 years later.
Right.
And after only about 20 years, he had about 50 stores open, mostly in Alabama, and really dominated the state to a large extent. And then in 1987, Ricky Brooks and his partner Joe Watson became Express Oil Change franchisees. Ricky went on to become the CEO of the company. He and Joe Watson bought the brand from Jim Lunsford in 1996. And at that time, they were the largest franchisees with 14 stores. And Ricky Brooks is still the CEO today.
That's great. Wow. Interesting.
I should mention that the brand really has developed is really in about 10 states across the South. We have over 170 stores, and 68 of which we own and operate ourselves.
That's great.
How do you, Don, how do you describe the Express Oil Change and Service Center franchise system to potential franchisees?
Well, we have a lot of unique characteristics about our business that really differentiate us from the rest of the quick lube industry. We offer a 10-minute full-service drive-through oil change, where you come in, you stay in your car, which is ideal if you're a mother with a couple of small kids strapped in car seats in the back. It's a hassle to get it pulling, and some places where you have to get out of the car and you go sit in the little waiting room. With us, you don't do that. You stay right in your car. We do a 20-point courtesy vehicle inspection, top off the fluids, and so on. But that's one of the things that makes us unique. It's very convenient and very fast. But the second thing is that we also do mechanical work. So, without appointment. So you come in for an oil change, and maybe your brakes are squeaking, your air conditioning isn't working right, or you want your tires rotated and so on. We do that sort of work, through our ASE certified mechanics. And which, again, most of the quick lube industry doesn't do that sort of thing. They really just change oil and maybe change your windshield wipers or something like that. So that gives us a major advantage in the business and, again, differentiates us from kind of the rest of the quick lube industry.
Yeah, and I think those are two big selling points. People don't want to have to go to a few different places. Just the franchise we had on last week, the show, Don, a combined movie theater and a restaurant. You kind of just go to one place. People love convenience.
Like one-stop shopping, yeah.
And also providing the oil change quickly like that. I have twins 5 years old. It is a hassle getting them in and out of the car.
Absolutely.
I love that you can just stay right in the car and you're in and out. You don't have to worry. It's going to be a great job.
Yeah, people are in a hurry, and a lot of times they're going out at lunchtime to get the oil change. They don't want to burn up the whole lunchtime just getting the oil change because they may have two other stops. So with us, again, over 75% of the changes take place in under 11 minutes.
Yeah, it is amazing, Don. Yeah, I'm in that situation, too. I have a little baby boy now, and I can relate to, Don's situation of taking the kids out of the car, And I go to an Express Loop place, and I can tell you it's hardly anything but Express, So, I love that ability to be able to stay in the car and truly get it done in 10 minutes because I think there's a lot of, and I won't say any other names of your competitors, but places out there that call themselves Express, and it's not.
Right. Well, another thing that makes us unique, I would say, and helps describe the system kind of to the point of your question also is that we focus very much on building car counts, mm-hmm. getting the customer by delivering great service and getting the customer to come back. And a big part of that is by building a sense of trust with the customer. We don't push products on people they don't need. We're not pushing air filters and things, that we've all had that experience, right? You go in and...
Yeah, that was something I wanted to add, too, is every time I seem to go, always pushing the air filter and everything else. So it costs a fortune,
Well, exactly right. And so, we charge, we have a premium service and we charge a fair price for it, but we're very careful to not oversell anything. We recommend, things based on the mileage of the car and the manufacturer's, recommendations and so on for that particular vehicle, but we never push anything. And in fact, I've seen our guys in the stores actually talking customers out of doing things because they don't really need it, which is really unusual.
And that trust is really the key. Yeah, you want the quick service and being reliable, but that trust in this type of industry, when most people don't know anything about cars and oil filters and so forth, and the same thing's happened to me. This situation, it's so uncomfortable. You think you're spending, $20 or whatever it is, and the next thing you know, you're spending double that. So that trust is key, and I guess that's the key to having a repeat customer.
Absolutely,
who's happy. Yeah.
That's interesting. One of the questions we've been asking on the show recently, Don, is how is technology, or has technology played a role in your franchise?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and for us it has. Again, because we're operators with 68 of our own stores, we know, we really clearly understand what the needs of the business are. Again, just operate it successfully ourselves. And so we created proprietary software management system called that we call ExpressTrack. And it really allows the franchisees or our company stores to easily track every facet of the business and our customers. So when you come in, you have a customer number on that little sticker that goes on your windshield. We first thing we do is we say hello, we peel that off, and we punch your number into our system. And we know when you came back last, what kind of service was done to your car in the past, what kind of oil you prefer, if there's a certain kind of oil that you have a preference for. And it tells us everything about the guys working in the stores, how many cars they worked on, if their customers are returning or not, so we can keep track of who's really delivering good service and not. It's a phenomenal system, and again, it's all we designed it ourselves.
Great. And any numbers on the industry, Don, as far as how big? I mean, you're in a pretty big industry, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. What's interesting is that as I mentioned earlier, since we do mechanical work, we really go beyond just the quick oil change industry. We really see ourselves in the overall aftermarket, what they call the automotive aftermarket industry.
Right.
And with that, it's a $281 billion market, and it's growing. As the population out there in the U.S. grows, so do the number of cars on the road. And for us, an interesting piece of it is that the average age of the cars on the road continues to get older and older, maybe because of the price of cars or whatever the reason.
Yeah.
But it just in 2008, the average age of cars crossed the 10-year-old mark for the first time.
So
that's good for us because, the more miles on a car, the more mechanical work they need, and, our business grows along with that.
Exactly.
Is it still, Don, that you have to get an oil change after a certain amount of miles with cars maybe being built a little better these days, you don't have to get oil changes as much, or that's not the case?
Yeah, no, that's not the case. Still, most of the manufacturers recommend getting your oil changed every 3,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some folks, will stretch that to 4,000 or 5,000, but 3,000 is generally the recommendation. But there are certain kinds of oils, really high-grade synthetic oils, that can stretch that time. Now, they're more expensive, quite a bit more expensive in some cases, but they help protect the engine more so, and you can actually, do the changes less frequently.
What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you, Don, since joining Express Oil Change and Service? You mentioned your background, Duncan Brands, Hallmark. What's something that, that's been interesting, since you've been at Express?
Well, one of the things that really dazzled me was when I first came on board to get familiar with the business and the brand. They asked me to go out and spend some time looking at stores and kind of just watching and learning and observing and so on. And one of the things that really amazed me was that commitment to delivering great service. It's not just talk here. It starts with Ricky Brooks, the CEO, and it gets right down. I've never seen a brand that is able to take what the CEO envisions and wants as a strategy and have it actually happen in the store to the customer to the degree that this brand does. And as an example, as I was in one of the stores watching, just observing, one of the managers, as a car drove onto the lot, one of the managers jogged out to meet the car out on the lot as it came on, talked to the customer, took the little sticker off, and then, escorted them into the garage, and then, three guys worked on the car so they'd get it out in 10 minutes. And you don't see that level of service really anywhere anymore. It reminded me of that scene from Back to the Future, where the car pulls in and three guys are,
right.
It's kind of a throwback almost. And but customers love it, and it feeds into our success.
I also like the way, Don, you guys can probably easily open, several hundred of these a year. I mean, I like how you're, just maintaining a nice slow growth, maybe opening 10 to 15 new centers this year and, doing it correctly and not getting the whole company out of control and just putting them all over the place.
Right.
I mean, that seems like it's a pretty good philosophy from up top.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, since Ricky as CEO came from a background of a franchisee, and we are very operationally focused, and so the focus is much more so on delivering a great experience to the customer from that core operational point of view rather than marketing, or rather than how many franchises can we sell this year? You know, so the focus is really on running them right, delivering a great experience, and the franchising piece of it is important. And we are, and we're going to grow probably faster in the future years, but it's going to be a very controlled growth. To your point,
would you classify your business and this service as recession resistant?
Absolutely. We're running a couple, almost 3% ahead of last year. And last year was a record year for us as a company. And it's interesting, in June, month of June, 30 of our 68 company stores had all-time record high sales months.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is incredible. And again, people are going to be keeping their cars longer because of the recession, so that may feed into more mechanical work. But the oil change business is solid as well. And again, we're fortunate that what's interesting is people tend to, when they have a newer car, they tend to get the oil change more frequently, and that helps us because we have the oil change business. And then the car gets older, it needs more mechanical work, and that benefits us as well.
Yeah, of course, people need their cars. This is not something people are going to say, well, I'll wait a few more months. When you need an oil change, you have to get it done. There's just no question. So what type of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee?
Number one, they do not need to have any kind of mechanical background or experience. They don't really need to know anything about cars. In fact, most of our franchisees were former bankers and lawyers and airline pilots and things like that. They don't come from the auto business necessarily at all. And so, therefore, we really look for, general business skills, the ability to manage and work with people, whether it's customers or their employees, the people that service their business. We look for people with an interest and ability to adapt to our system, and that will, really engage in delivery of a great experience. The general business skills and abilities is really more of the. And I think that's true for lots of franchisors. That many of us are looking for that quality individual with natural, skills and abilities rather than experience in that business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there some absentee ownership element here, or it's really all hands on?
We have a mixture. So we have some guys that have over a dozen stores and so on, in which case they are they're almost more of an investor, and they're operating with a team managing the business. And we have many others that this is their they open one store and then eventually they open two, and they're very hands on. So it's a combination.
Okay,
great. Don, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Up to.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today we're meeting with Don LaRose, the Vice President of Franchise Development for Express Oil Change and Service Center. And Don, I think I'm up. Don, did you want to talk a little bit about what training is like for your new franchisees?
Absolutely, we'd love to. The new franchisees come here to Birmingham, Alabama, and spend about 10 weeks learning every facet of the business. You know, and that includes the last 2 weeks of that includes the store crew.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unique. As you probably are aware, most franchisors train the franchisee and maybe one other person, and they look to those people to be the kind of train the trainer sort of model. And we actually bring in the crew, which might be five or six people when a new store opens up. And the reason we can do that, why it makes sense, is that our stores operate with full-time crew only. So it's which is different. You know, most of the retail world is usually heavy in a lot of part-time workers, and there tends to be a very heavy turnover with that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't economically make lots of sense to for a franchisor to train, to personally train those people. Where with us, we can do that because the people, full-time workers, smaller crew, they tend to stick around longer, so it's an investment that makes sense. And it results in a better trained crew and a better experience for the customer. So that's unique for us. And the people that train here are all of our, we have very experienced staff of managers and so on that actually have experience running stores. So the franchisee learns from people that have actually operated the business.
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense to work with full-timers versus part-timers, because I know a lot of, Don, we hear that all the time, franchisees, some of their biggest struggles is hiring people, so part-timers can be a little difficult, I think, sometimes to work with. So I think that's a wonderful idea. That's really fantastic.
Yeah, it really makes the franchisee's life a lot easier when you're not spending all your time hiring and training new people.
Exactly. Absolutely. Is there a typical day for franchisees? Don, I guess Mondays are different from Fridays, but if you could describe like maybe a couple of different scenarios.
Sure. Well, I guess one of the things, again, makes us a little bit different, at least in retail, is compared to retail operations, is that our hours of operation are 8 in the morning until 6 p.m. every day. So we close at 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. And we're 8 to 5 on Saturday, and we're closed on Sundays. And so as a kind of a work-life balance for the franchisee, you have Sunday off every day and every week, and you're home for dinner every single night of the week. And there's no food prep involved, so when the store opens up at 8, the franchisee typically arrives around between 7 and 7:30, runs a few reports, gets the cash drawer ready, and then typically holds a brief meeting with their crew and talks about the store, the goals, how they did the day before, how they're doing for the week, because we have a unique payroll system that all those full-time workers, that crew, shares in a bonus pool every week based on the weekly sales of the business.
Wow, that's great. I think that's very helpful.
It keeps them motivated and to deliver that great service that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely. Makes them feel like partners, Don, in the business, even the workers, even though if they don't own the business, they still feel like partners, and they have a stake in it, to
absolutely
hit that 10-minute mark. I think it's a great business model.
Yeah,
how the assistants?
When you see guys jog out to meet cars or talk to customers and say, no, you don't need to come back yet, come back, when you hit this mileage,
Right.
You know, they're buying into the notion, like you said, that they feel like owners, and they buy into the idea of driving the overall volume up by building trust with the customer and delivering great service. So it all kind of ties in with that.
Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to come up to this part of Pennsylvania, actually. You know, it's I would definitely be interested in using your service.
Thanks.
Yeah, as I said before, it's tough to get my twins out of the car. They start watching their movie, their DVD in the car. It's another reason.
Right. We say you don't really need to go and sit in that little room and drink the coffee. Sitting there in that little
Stale coffee, I know.
I was going to just ask before, Don, all new franchisees, business owners always worry, you know, how quickly can I go, you know, start getting business? You know, what type of support and, you know, marketing plan to give the franchisees once they open?
Our franchisees pay 3%, and we require they spend 3% on marketing, and we provide, you know, support and guidance around that, but we don't collect that 3%. The franchisee spends it themselves, and so, you know, they really drive what the decision making on it, and we provide them the support and tools, you know, ad advertisements and so on that they can use to do that. And of course, we provide a great deal of support around the grand opening and launch of the business, providing them with direct mail processes and all those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah, it's perfect for direct mail. I mean, this is the type of service.
Right.
You get something in the mail and you get a little bit of a discount, or you know, you definitely save that coupon.
Absolutely. The other thing we do is we help fleet business, getting the local businesses around you that have, you know, maybe a flower business that has 3 or 4 vans and things like that. We help our franchisees make those contacts and develop their fleet business as a part, and it's a part of the marketing process.
Wow.
Which is great, another income stream, and that can be some bigger bulk pay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely good. You've been in franchising, obviously, a while, Don. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise?
Number one is to do plenty of research on the company. You know, really
right.
Get to know, look under the hood, if you will. You get to know what that company is all about. Read their FDD closely.
Mm-hmm.
Visit locations if it's a company, you know, a business that has physical locations. Talk to people about the brand and, you know, customers. Understand what the reputation is, because once you buy in, that reputation is your reputation now to a large extent.
True.
The other thing is, I think, really talk to a lot, you know, franchisees. A lot of franchisors will, you know, maybe they'll say, hey, here's 5 guys in your area you might want to talk to, and that's great, talk to them, but talk to other people as well and help have them help you put together your own financial model and bounce it off of franchisees and say, hey, do these numbers look accurate? Does this make sense? So, well, you know, the more questions you can ask, the better off you're going to be when you go to make that decision. And I would say the last thing is to go out and talk to potential lenders, especially right now. Don't sign a franchise agreement until you've talked to lenders and specifically know that you're going to be able to get financing for your business, because it is, even if you've got phenomenal financial status and a great credit background, sometimes franchisees get turned down because the franchisor is, you know, too new or too small or has had a bad history or whatever it might be. And so it's not always the franchisee's problem, but it becomes their problem if they've already signed an agreement and paid some money.
That's good advice.
And I know that firsthand, Don. That's also my business, doing it for over 10 years. That's great advice. Get pre-qualified, you know, before you, you know, sign a lease or move forward. Make sure you have financing in line, whatever it is.
Exactly.
I'm sure some of your top franchisees in the system all kind of have some characteristics on why they're successful. Maybe you want to talk about that a little bit, what characteristics make successful entrepreneurs and franchisees, Don?
Sure. I think first and foremost, kind of like I just mentioned, that the willingness to ask questions and learn, and not as, you know, a lot of people that go into business, they have to have a certain amount of self-confidence to do that, because you're taking a risk and you're leaving, you know, maybe you're leaving the comfort, safety of a big company and you're going out on your own. And that confidence can sometimes lead people to not ask questions because they think they might know it all. And so it's really critical, you know, to see people that are successful, I think they're not afraid to ask questions and learn from people out there, you know, and admit that they don't know it all. And I think the other characteristic is the ability to communicate, whether it's to your franchisor, to your employees, to your customers. It's an important skill that tends to set people off, I think, on a path to success. And maybe the last thing is perseverance. You know, like anything, any endeavor is to not let the challenges that come up stop you, you know, and
right.
It's easy to. It's easy to get discouraged. Just going to get finances, and financing is an example. I think there's lots of folks that want to have their own business. They get turned down by a couple of banks, and then they say, well, you know, they just kind of give up. So if you really want to succeed, you have to just persevere and find a way to make it work.
I like your point of, you know, good entrepreneurs, it's going to try to learn everything they can about the business and realize they don't, you know, they don't know everything.
Right.
That's a real good point.
How big would you guys like to get? I mean, what are your plans for the future, Don, as far as your growth?
We intend to continue growing, as you mentioned earlier, you know, between 12 to 15 stores a year. That's really our path. We want to continue growing at a rate around there, maybe a little faster than that in the outer years, but you know, for the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, it's, you know, anywhere from 12 to 18 stores a year. And we feel very comfortable that we're going to be able to do that even in these difficult times, again, because we are, you know, our stores are profitable, they're successful, and the brand is as well. And as you mentioned earlier, even in tough times, you know, you might put off getting the big screen TV, but if the brakes are going, you got to get them fixed.
That's true. So, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Don? Is there a website they can go to or a number they can call? Or?
Absolutely. Certainly at www.expressoil.change is our website, expressoil.change, .com. And our phone number here is 205-945-1771. Again, 205-945-1771. We'd love to talk to people, especially across the South, and now we're breaking up into Ohio as well, so we're looking for franchisees
in
Ohio.
Great. And we'll put that information up on our show page as well, Don, so our listeners can get access to that information as well. And I want to thank you. You've been an incredible guest, and I think you guys have a great business model, and we'd love to have you back in the near future.
Arnie and Don, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks so much, Don.
Great
have
job,
a great
Don.
Day
thank
today.
You.
Great concept, huh, Don?
Yeah,
very impressed.
We're doing it right, you know. This is interesting. Learned a few interesting things, I guess, why they're trying to stay ahead of the competition. I love a few things you mentioned.
Right, I like how they're not getting, you know, you were mentioning during the show, not getting too big, too fast. You know, we've referenced dozens of examples of franchisers that have had problems doing that, you know.
Right.
So I think that's fantastic. And just a great business model, though. Never say any names, but I always have frustration in going for an oil change. You know, it's not a pleasant experience.
You know, we've had so many of these real nice concepts on the show the last few years, and then we finish, and I always want them to be right in my town, my backyard.
Well, that's what I say. I'd love if they were up here, you know. So, you know, that's fantastic. So, did a fantastic job. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. We have another great show next week, don't we, Don?
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll just keep doing what we do and keep adding to the our archive.
Good, and good job on segment one. So I guess you're going to have to get back to some more reading, right, of that harvardbusiness.org.
As soon as we hang up, I'm on it.
All right, Don, I'll talk to you next week.
Good job, Marty.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.